listening to Pound for Pound, ringside for all things MMA and boxing on WFUV Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pound for Pound. I'm your host, Andrew Canary, and I am here alongside Riley Lucas with the Devin Haney shirt on. Guys, I don't even think, I'm not going to preface it at all. We got a Devin Haney fight week, and Riley Lucas is in studio, so she is pumped. She cannot wait to get into it. I'm actually really excited to talk about this fight because I'm kind of turning into a Devin Haney hater a little bit.
He wants to fight with me, that's all.
I think I'm back in Regis Progress and in this one, but we'll see. Anyway, though, Riley, how are you doing first?
Do we even have to ask that question? No, I'm doing amazing. I've been waiting for this fight for so long. I think every episode I do a countdown till this moment, and it's been pushed back. There was talk it wasn't going to end up happening, and now it's finally here, so I'm just over the moon.
Yeah, no, I mean, it should be a really, really fun fight night. Goes down Saturday night at, I believe it's 9 p.m. or 8 p.m. it gets started. Main event will probably roll around 10 p.m., 11 p.m., and it should be a fun fight. I mean, it's not the one that everyone was really expecting. I know everyone kind of expected the Shakur Stevenson fight and really wanted to see that one after kind of all the trash talk following Devin Haney winning against Vasily Lomachenko. But at least to open up the conversation, that's where I want to start our whole conversation about this fight. And it's the following of the Devin Haney versus Lomachenko fight, which I felt like was a big win for him, but it wasn't really that convincing to show that he was the face of boxing or really the face of the division.
Yeah, correct. I mean, obviously, I've said it many times on the show before. I was myself even shocked by that fight. Obviously, I pulled for Devin when I went back and looked at the stats and the percentages. I still think that Devin Haney won that fight, but it was a pretty close, and that was something that we thought the margin would be more so in Devin Haney's favor. It should not have been that close, and I really think that's what's going to put this into perspective here, because we now have him moving up a weight division. That was him at 135, and this is him at 140, so I really think that the central question of this fight is, like, you know, is it going to be, are these things that we didn't love about Haney previously at 135, is that going to be more exploitable at 140, or is this going to be an improvement, or is it really going to show how skilled Devin Haney is?
Yeah, and I, at least from how I see it, him moving up a weight class is something that's really, really interesting, and actually something that we saw in the UFC fights this past weekend with Davison Figueiredo and Kelvin Gastelum. We'll get into that in a little bit. But the biggest thing that I see, at least with Devin Haney moving up, is how's his style going to apply to fighters that are heavier than him? Okay. And it kind of goes one of two ways, I feel like, especially with his style, where it's really predominantly a counter-striking style while using footwork to really kind of move around the opponent and capitalize on bad moves. It's very reminiscent of kind of like a Floyd Mayweather, but honestly a little bit more risky, I guess, is one way to put it. And I see going one of two ways. I think it either works really, really well and it looks like he hasn't changed at all, or I think the more likely thing is the second option, and that seems like he could get bullied a lot more in the ring. And I think that somebody like Regis Progress could be the guy to do it. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, I will say that I think Regis is a big puncher. I think this is going to be the biggest Haney's ever faced in his career, maybe that he will face in his career for a long time. And, you know, going off of that too, Regis is also a southpaw fighter, and we've seen in the past that Devin Haney's really struggled with those guys. But I think at the end of the day, Devin just has way more in his toolbox, and Regis is slow. He doesn't move around as much. He's not like a Lomachenko who's quick on his feet. And I think that in this position that Regis is going to be a lot more prone to getting hit when just endeavoring his way to Haney. And I think that power is going to carry him, but to what extent?
Yeah, I mean, it could end up him just purely becoming a punching bag, which, I mean, I think that was the biggest thing that biggest question I had coming out of that Devin Haney-Lomachenko fight, was that can Devin Haney really, like, land big punches and get somebody out of there? And I think part of the reason that I'm thinking about it is just because Lomachenko is that good with his footwork and evading strikes, and made that fight as close as it is. But yeah, looking through Progress's, you know, recent fights, I mean, it's really impressive results. I believe, yeah, he up until his last fight, he was on a 5-fight KO, TKO strike. So really impressive stuff. But like you said, though, he does have that plodding forward style, which I think could benefit him. But also, I mean, if it just leaves him open to Devin Haney strikes and counter strikes, he could just end up kind of having like the Homer Simpson style of just being a punching bag.
Yeah, like I've said I'm going to say a million times that that power is the one concern I really have for Haney. But I also think that Devin Haney is a lot quicker in his feet and he really doesn't put himself in bad spots. So the only way I see Regis winning this fight is that if he does land some killer powerful punch on Haney. But because of Haney's wide open skill set and all the things he does have in his toolbox, I don't see that happening super easily. And I mean, I think everybody agrees with that too. Devin Haney, I believe, is like minus 450, Regis is plus 310.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely, yeah, the odds makers definitely have their mind on who's going to win this fight. But I will say, though, I mean, looking at Devin Haney's past three fights, if you want to look at the Kambosos, you know, duology, if you want to say that, mm-hmm. and then finally the Vasily Lomachenko fight, I feel like he got hit pretty bad in all of those fights. There was at least moments where it didn't look too great for him. And Kambosos and Lomachenko are known as people that do not really put your lights out. And it looked like Devin Haney just had a couple tough moments in that fight. So I'm just thinking if Progaius can land one strike, honestly, that might be all he needs to really put Devin Haney on the back foot and possibly, you know, finish it.
Well, first, I think Devin Haney still does have a solid chin on him. I don't want to count that out. There's been times in the past where, you know, like the whole Linares fight, like he caught him those times. And whether it be just Haney not mentally there and just you see him wobbling and stuff like that, at the end of the day, he still hung tough. And I think that was the only time we've really questioned Haney's toughness and chin to that extent in the ring. And I don't think he's in that position anymore. And then on top of that, that Lomachenko fight, I kind of disagree on that. I think the reason that everyone thought Lomachenko won that is because it looked as if he threw more strikes. But then when you looked at the volumes and the percentages of how many he landed in comparison to Devin Haney, that's what got him the win. I think just from eyesight, when you have Lomachenko throwing all these punches throughout that battle, you're just going to automatically assume, like, wow, he won that. But when you look at the percentage of how many of those actually landed and how many of those were significant strikes, it was not as many as you would expect. So I think you just really have to break it down. And another thing about Devin Haney is he really comes off as a boring fighter. He doesn't do crazy stuff in the ring. We see people who are quick on their feet, like Lomachenko.
I'm glad you came out and said
no,
it.
It's true.
That was just a funny way of introducing it.
It is true. Yeah, he's not overly flashy with his fighting, but he does everything so quick and effective. And when he wants to make a move, it's pretty solid of a move. He always finishes and carries out his punches. And, you know, he's really heavy on those jabs. And I believe he has a very high percentage of landing those. Yeah, 25% of every jab thrown is efficient. And then you have Regis, who also prefers to throw his jabs, and 58% of them being jabs, but I believe 13% of those connect. So at the end of the day, it's just the volume and the percentages works in Devin Haney's favor. He doesn't need to go around in the ring and dance around people and pull a whole Ryan Garcia crazy nonsense. He just gets the job done. And I think people are so used to the flashiness in boxing nowadays that when someone like Devin Haney steps in the ring and they don't see the crazy, they don't see this powerful, skilled fighter. But if you just really break it down, he is. And that's why he's 25 years old, 30-0, 15 knockouts under his belt. I think this is going to be an easy one for him. But
man,
that's my boy. So
cut it and cut the promo right there.
Yeah. Like,
all right. So
my boy.
I guess I'll be kind of the person on the fence here and say that, I mean, yeah, you do highlight his efficiency in the I keep almost saying octagon because I'm such a UFC centric person, but yeah, in the ring, he's extremely efficient and his style lends himself to that. But
yeah,
I will say another thing that I saw in those fights, especially the Linares fight too, is he sometimes I feel like falls in love with the counter and really mm-hmm. kind of lets rounds slip away from him where otherwise he would win those rounds. And I think it's just due to inactivity and him like really trying to find an opportunity to land a shot,
mm-hmm.
which as an educated boxer you want to do. But also, I mean, on the other side of that too, Lomachenko was able to steal rounds and Linares was still able to steal rounds in their respective fights against Devin Haney by
mm-hmm.
just purely in terms of output, just putting more strikes out there per round. And I think if Regis really just puts the pressure on him and just kind of does that and really avoid shelling up against kind of the, I guess, Rubik's Cube that is Devin Haney, because
mm-hmm.
he is a really complicated fighter to try to figure out what he's actually trying to do. I don't know. I think Regis Progaius definitely has a way into this fight. I don't think it's going to be like a knockout or anything like
yeah.
that. I can definitely see him maybe dropping Devin Haney with a nice shot, and then from there, Haney being a little bit gun-shy.
Mm-hmm.
But the point I think I'm trying to get to is that I think I could see maybe a split decision. I think it's going to be a lot closer of a fight than Devin Haney's expecting walking in on Saturday night.
I agree with that. I will say that I do believe that this is going to be Devin Haney's biggest challenge. A lot of people felt that way about Lomachenko, which obviously still was a challenge to him. But I think that for Devin Haney, the one issue is going to be some solid knockout punch. And I don't think necessarily Regis is going to get that, but I can say that I could see it being a split decision. I still see it obviously going in Devin Haney's favor. I would never, ever pull against him no matter what. I would stand up here and lie to say, like, I think Devin Haney is going to win. But I'm not right now. I really think that this is going to go for him. And I do think that 140 is going to be an easier, you know, an easier not a challenge for him is what I'm trying to say. I think 135 is a lot harder for him. He's having to cut weight, and there's been times where he has struggled to keep at 135. And it's almost as if, I don't know if you've seen the pictures of him lately at 140. Have mm-hmm. you? He looks
yeah.
incredible.
No, he
does. It was so effortless for him. And I think that's going to help him a lot. I think 140, you know, I also think he should sit in this category for a while. I think that's an issue, too. I don't want him to keep just chasing these dreams and trying to take over every division in every category. You know, he's surrendering belts, he's moving around. I think he needs to just sit
here.
Because,
I mean, we see with, like, you know, somebody like Canelo that really tried to do that. I mean, at a certain point, you get to a point
yeah.
where you're moving up, like, what, 4 weight classes, and then you're going mm-hmm. up against guys that look kind of, you know, like, they're massive compared to, you know, the person that's actually trying to move up, leading them to, like, you know, lose, despite them being the stylistically better fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
he needs to just sit here. And then I think in the future, after he wins this, must I add, I see him fighting someone like Teofimo Lopez and just really just going at 140. But I also want to pedal back to what you said. I do think the one issue that Haney does have and will have in this fight is that he becomes almost addicted to one punch, and I think we've seen it especially with that left hand jab before, and people catch on to that. Obviously, you're training for this fight, you're watching their film, you're learning their every move, and I think that was the biggest issue I said prior going into the Lomachenko fight, and it ended up being the biggest issue in the Lomachenko fight. He was going for that same punch, that same jab, and Lomachenko was ready for it. And knowing that Regis, you know, is good with the counter and throwing a solid punch after that could leave him susceptible to the knockout, he really can't do that here. So I'm hoping that he's not going to make the same mistake again, because I do think that if he goes into this fight, you know, fighting that way, it's going to go downhill for him. And
yeah.
I don't want to see that. It's not going to happen. I don't want to put it out there, but it could.
And I will say, like, kind of just the optics going into this fight, it seems like the Devin Haney hype train, it's still definitely chugging along the tracks, but
course.
It definitely took a hit, I would say, with that Lomachenko
fight. 100%.
And I think that, yeah, I think you can agree with me, even being a massive Devin Haney fan.
Yes.
And if he wins this fight, I think it propels him. It not only gets him back on track in terms of his hype and just career, but also sets up some really good fights in terms of Shakur Stevenson, which everyone still wants to see, and also Teofimo Lopez, which
yeah.
we also talked about. And I know there was kind of like that whole weird kind of triangle of fights going on where Vasily Lomachenko lost the belt to Teofimo Lopez,
mm-hmm.
and then Teofimo Lopez lost it to Kambosos, and then that's where Devin Haney actually won the belt by beating Kambosos. So it's kind of a whole ring around the rosy.
Yeah, it's like a love triangle.
Exactly. But I think that, I mean, do you want to see that Teofimo Lopez fight more than like a Shakur Stevenson?
You know, how do I answer this? I want to see them both, but for different reasons, just skill wise and to test Devin Haney's skill set and to really show where he's at as a fighter. I want to see him fight Teofimo Lopez, but just for petty reasons and how much I hate Shakur Stevenson. I wish I had a dollar for how many times I've gotten on this show and preached my hate for Shakur Stevenson. Everything about him, I just think he's so extremely overhyped, especially we won't go down a rabbit hole, but last fight, come on.
That last fight was embarrassing.
Embarrassing.
But, yeah, me and Monty talked about it. We were so
embarrassing.
So, it was depressing, honestly.
And I believe, statistically, that was the least amount of punches thrown in a boxing match came from Shakur Stevenson of all time. Of all time. It was just so, so, so embarrassing. And I don't understand why people are on the Shakur train. And, listen, like you said, after the whole Lomachenko fight with Devin Haney, a lot of people jumped off the train. They were a little disappointed. And even so, with the whole Shakur fight not happening and the drama behind that, I think Devin Haney had a lot of people jump off of his bandwagon. But you cannot sit here and tell me that Devin Haney would not beat Shakur Stevenson. Like, I just, especially after seeing that performance from Shakur, it's just embarrassing. So I just want Shakur and Devin Haney to get in this ring just so we can end this debate after all. Like, this is crazy that it's even talked about. Shakur is all talk. And don't get me wrong, Devin's ran his mouth a little bit in the past, but not like Shakur. Shakur is just, I can't curse on this show, but if I could, I would have a lot to say. I cannot stand him.
So reeling it back to this Devin Haney fight versus Regis Prograis. I think it's time that we finally put in our picks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go out first and I'll go out on my limb. I kind of previewed my pick a little bit earlier. I guess I already said it. I think that Prograis is going to get it done via split decision.
Man.
And I think it kind of links just back to his past three fights. I think that the Kambosos fights were really not that impressive. And then the Lomachenko fight, honestly, I kind of felt like Lomachenko may have won it. To even talk about it in that nature, to be that close where it was kind of
a
toss-up.
Don't say that. It makes me sick. That you
it just makes me so worried that heading into this fight, moving up a weight class, it's just, it might be, he might have bit off more than he could chew.
But I will, okay, let me rebuttal two of those things.
Okay.
I will say, the Lomachenko fight, if you really go back, though, and you look at it, Devin Haney won that fight. That goes to my point of Devin just being a boring fighter, because he's not doing too much in the ring. He's just taking the punches, and he's moving around when he knows he's able to, whereas Lomachenko's just has that crazy footwork. He's running around, and he's just throwing jabs and punches left and right. But if you really, really, really look at the statistics, it's Devin Haney had all those punches landed. He had a way higher margin, and I hate that, because don't get me wrong, I said from just my viewpoint, I was like, this is a close fight. When they announced Devin Haney, I was like, oh my god, thank you Lord. But when you really go back,
that's
and
what
look,
I'm saying,
yeah, but then when you go back and look, so it's all, it really is about the percentages landed and the significant strikes, and Devin Haney had that. So that's my first rebuttal. And second, you don't, why do you think the 140 is going to be a little bit of a challenge? I'm just curious.
I don't know. I think it's just bite off more than you can chew. I think the size can definitely be a factor, and I think just the pressure also. I mean, just if he was fighting somebody other than Regis, I would maybe give him a bit more of the benefit of the doubt. But mm-hmm. I think just watching a couple of Regis's highlights, just the style that he fights at, I think that he kind of a weight bully. He's going to use it against Devin Haney. So
yeah, now I'm like... Whatever.
All right, wait,
I think it's gonna go in his favor. I don't want to go too much in a rabbit hole, but then also, you know, what about the age gap? What do you think about that? There's a 10-year age gap. Haney also has a little bit of height on him, and I believe he has like a 3-inch reach advantage. Which...
That is very true. But to that, let me give a rebuttal and say, hey, experience. You know, I mean, Regis has 10 more years of you might want to say age, but I call it experience in the ring.
Yeah, but
and
then...
also despite that, I will say also, he only has one loss as well, which is extremely impressive for somebody as old as him.
But you can't even say the experience, because though he has 10 more years, Devin Haney is 30-0, Regis is 29-1. So Devin Haney, at his young age, has that experience.
Yeah, I will say that, but also...
He's got that
considering...
fire. He's got the youth. He's ready. That's my boy. Don't talk about him.
All right. We got to circle around back to the picks. Split decision for Regis for me. Riley, what do you got?
I want to say unanimous decision Haney, but I won't be shocked if it's a split decision. Either way, I see it going in Devin Haney's favor.
Gotcha.
I don't think either one of them are going to get a knockout. I will say that. And if they do, I will be shocked. And if Regis gets the knockout, you won't hear from me for a very long time. You won't hear
from me. Sorry, we just saw resident pound-for-pound fan Zach Cordova. Yeah, what a guy. Wait, actually, you know what? If he can maybe IFB in, I want to hear his pick. Devin Haney versus Regis Prograis. If you have any pick whatsoever.
Zach,
do you?
Yes, think smart.
If not, then it's good. We'll move on.
Wow.
I don't think he does.
Yeah, right. You hear that? Devin Haney for Riley's sake. Yeah, he's a smart boy. He knows.
Wow.
He knows,
I see how it is, Zach.
He knows not to mess with me. He's smart. He knows.
All right. Well, with that all in tow, I think it should be a very, very fun fight night.
This is my Super
Should be
Bowl.
Good, especially considering the UFC card for this weekend is kind of boring. I will say, like, it's just not a good look when your biggest fighter or one of your biggest fighters on the card is Lionheart Smith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of a fan of him also, but just, yeah, it's not looking great for the UFC card this weekend. I do want to talk about Gutierrez versus Song Yudong, which should be fun. But before that, I do want to recap the fight night that happened last weekend, and it was amazing. It was so much fun. If you want to go through performance of the night, I'm just going to name all the guys that got performance of the night. I think it was something like 8. Yeah, hold on. Let me go through it. We got Jared Gooden, Dracar Close, Cody Brundage, Misha Tate, Dustin Stoltzfus, Sean Brady, Jalen Turner, which we'll get into that Jalen Turner, Bobby Green fight in just a second, and then finally Armin Saryukin. All of those guys get an extra $50,000 through performance of the night, and they put on a show. It was a fantastic fight night. I believe it was in Austin. Really, really fun stuff, but there is definitely some controversy.
Yes.
One of those controversies being that I actually got my pick wrong. I picked Dariush going into that fight, the Dariush versus Armin Saryukin fight. Mm-hmm. And wow, Saryukin looked amazing. Finished Dariush via KO round one. It looked like he knocked him out with a knee initially, but instead just hit him with a straight right hand that put him down to the canvas, knocked him out cold. And it was honestly more of an impressive finish than when Charles Oliveira beat Beneil Dariush. So yeah, I mean, Armin Saryukin, a guy that is in the top 5 at the very least, if not right up there in title contention. I mean, I think he could be the next contender. I mean, considering that the Oliveira Makhachev fight still needs to be sorted out, whoever wins that, mm-hmm. I think that Armin Saryukin's next in line.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I'm very happy I wasn't on last week's episode, because as we know on this show, I'm almost perfect with my fight picks, and I would have been on the same page as you. I would have went with Dariush. So from that point of view, I was just shocked. I was shocked. And not only was I shocked with the outcome, I was shocked how soon the outcome happened.
Yeah.
It was round one, a minute. That's
like sub-minute.
Crazy.
It was
yeah.
crazy. Yeah, if that. So, I mean, really, really impressive stuff. And that is like so far beyond my fight prediction on what I thought was going to happen. Mm-hmm. I knew Armin Saryukin was a really fast starter and a really fast fighter. I didn't know he had that much explosive power and was able to put somebody's lights out like that. And I know that Dariush is known for kind of getting in bad situations and getting clipped and sometimes finished in slightly, you know, highlight reel-esque ways. But, I mean, wow, what a performance for Armin Saryukin. But moving on, though, the other bigger controversy of the night, other than my shoddy fight picks, is Bobby Green losing.
He can't catch a break.
I know. He really can't, especially after the headbutt thing. I don't know. He seems kind of cursed.
Yeah, like, sorry to cut you off, but he really just can't catch a break. Anytime, I was telling Andrew I didn't watch this fight when it happened, but I went back, and before I could even go back, I was on Twitter, and I just saw Bobby Green trending, and just my first thought was, what now? Like, what did he do
exactly,
now?
Yeah.
And then it was this, which is very unfortunate, but it really goes to show, like, he cannot catch a break. And again, this would have been a fight pick that was wrong for me. I think I probably would have pulled for Bobby Green just because he's had everything go wrong for him, and I feel like it's his time, and, you know, he is an amazing fighter, but when this goes on, it's just, it's horrible.
Yeah, going into this, I was really excited for this fight because, I mean, Bobby Green, Jalen Turner, honestly kind of a better fight matchup than mm-hmm. Dan Hooker versus Bobby Green, which was originally slated up until Dan Hooker got injured and Jalen Turner had to slot into this fight with a week notice, which I will say, him winning this fight on a week notice, really, really impressive stuff.
Correct.
But yeah, Jalen Turner, they were kind of feeling each other out in the very beginning of the fight. Jalen Turner lands a really, really nice left hand, or it might have been a right hand. It was a straight, though.
First
from
round,
the rear side,
again.
First round, again, seemed like a wobbled Bobby, sent him to the ground, and it looked like it was pretty much wraps there, but referee Kerry Hatley just kind of let the fight continue for like another 30 seconds as Jalen Turner's just wailing on a barely defensible Bobby Green, or somebody that's barely defending. It was ridiculous, leading up to Bobby Green going completely unconscious. Jalen Turner finishes the fight. Kerry Hatley finally steps in and stops the fight. But after that point, I think Bobby Green may have absorbed, like, I don't know, like an extra 10, 15
yeah.
uncontested
maybe
strikes. 20? Yeah, maybe 20. It was ridiculous. I don't know. I mean, I was screaming at the TV when I watched this. I'm
sure
that Zach in the producer booth had the similar reaction to me. But yeah, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from Jalen Turner because mm-hmm. honestly, that's not his job to really decide when the fight is over or not. All of the blame goes on Kerry Hatley.
Yeah.
I don't understand what he was thinking in the year 2023, letting that fight go on that long. And I'm really not a big fan of fights being stopped early. I feel like, you know, that's one of the worst things that you can do in MMA. But honestly, mm-hmm. I think something that's worse is letting it go on too long and potentially allowing a fighter to take an extreme amount of damage, because heading after this fight, I don't know when we're going to see Bobby Green in the octagon again.
Correct. And I mean, I agree with you. Stopping the fight too early is very unfortunate, but even more unfortunate is this. And I think everybody, I think Stevie Wonder could have even seen that this fight was long over before the ref stepped up to their... it's just crazy. And again, I don't want to take away from Jalen Turner because at the end of the day, the knockout happened before that. So the win was his. This had nothing to do with controversy against his win or anything like that. He had a solid knockout that granted him this dub. But Bobby Green, it's unfortunate. And I believe he got into a fight earlier in the week.
Yeah, there's a whole another facet to the story coming out of it where Armin Saryukin and Bobby Green were starting to get into it heading into the fight night. And then after Bobby Green has that terrible, terrible knockout, Armin Saryukin goes on the MMA hour with Ariel Helwani this week and says, like, oh, yeah, I think they should have let it go another 5 minutes, you know, just let him, you know, keep taking damage in there. I was like, what are you talking about, man? I mean, I know that they don't like each other. Like, based on the clips, it seemed like they absolutely hated each other. But, yeah, to say that, man, I mean, it's a little cold-hearted. But hopefully Bobby Green gets better. Jalen Turner, though, really kind of turns around. It's a quick turnaround after losing, actually, to Dan Hooker a couple months prior. I feel like he completely puts a stop on kind of that sliding momentum. It really kind of, you know, puts himself back in this lightweight contention. But moving on, one last fight I do want to highlight is Rob Font versus Davison Figueiredo. Davison Figueiredo looked really, really solid moving up. Rob Font did not look good at all. And I will say, like, the fight commentary was really highlighting, oh, man, the footwork of Figueiredo is looking on point in this fight. He's, like, untouchable, really stuff like that. And to a certain degree, yeah. But also, Rob Font had, like, honestly, it was one of the worst performances of the night, possibly even the month for me.
Mm-hmm.
He just seemed like a step behind everywhere in the fight, whether it was grappling. When he was trying to chase down Figueiredo, it looked like he was just kind of running at him, like running straight at him.
Yeah,
to
he
the point
just didn't
where,
look there.
Exactly. He really just didn't look there. Not really intelligent circling off the cage, cutting off the cage to kind of corner Figueiredo, just allowing him to really do whatever he wanted. And I'm glad to say also that Davison's Figueiredo's power really translates over to bantamweight well also. I mean, a guy that's known for having, you know, fight-stopping power at flyweight moves up to bantamweight, and that was a big question mark for me heading into this fight. Is he going to have the same power? Is he still going to have the same pop in his shots? And he did. And I know Rob Font doesn't have the strongest chin in the bantamweight division. I mean, there's tons of jokes out there, especially his fight against Chito Vera. But Figueiredo looked really, really good, and it looked like he was genuinely hurting Rob Font every single time he hit him.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm very disappointed in Rob Font because Rob Font in his last, what, five fights? I believe he's only won one of them.
Yeah.
And it's really disappointing. When he was against Yanez, I pulled for him, and I was proud of his performance and, you know, all the significant strikes he was able to land and that he's able to land as a striker throughout his career. But this Rob Font that we saw in that octagon was just absolutely embarrassing. I don't want to harp on this, but I just think he mentally wasn't all there because everything was lacking for him. It's not like he just wasn't able to land strikes or chase him down. Everything just looked like a hot mess. And I think I'm officially off the Rob Font wagon if I was ever on it. Gotcha. I have pulled for him before, but I don't think I will be ever again. And to say, or to pedal back and say, I would have got this one wrong again. So thank God I was not on the show last week because I'm like 20-0 right now. I can't risk it.
Counting your lucky stars that you weren't able to make it for that one.
Come on. After that whole Russian card and I got every Russian. And I will say I was not on the episode after that too, which is a crime because I would. It's actually good for you guys because I would have ranted for about an hour.
Oh, I know. Maddie was like literally saying like, I'm so lucky that she's not on this episode. Oh, everything like that.
Thank you. I was texting you guys, blowing you up. But moral of the story is I'm 20-0 on picks and Rob Font would have really screwed that up for me and I would be cursing his name. So I'm happy I wasn't on it and I'm just disappointed. You know, even if I would have pulled for him, which I would have, I still would have, you know, even if he lost, it's one thing, but to lose at the capacity that he did, it's just I expected a lot better from Rob Font. I just feel that, like you said, it was probably the worst performance of the month.
Yeah, honestly, it was really embarrassing for him. But talking about fight picks, there are two fights, or actually probably just one, that I want to get into before we end this episode, and that is the UFC fight night for this weekend. And like I said, it's a little bit boring, not the most fun. Our co-main event is Anthony Lionheart Smith going up against Khalil Roundtree, which I'm a huge Khalil Roundtree fan. So it should be a fun fight, but honestly, it's like not really huge name potential. And for the main event, we have Song Yadong taking on Chris Gutierrez. And I'm really interested to see how this kind of fight plays out. I mean, Song Yadong has been, I feel like, really marketed to us as like this prodigy that's has one stop, one shot fight ending ability mixed in with some really, really great grappling and submission ability. His guillotine has been something that people talk about a lot. But honestly, he's been in the UFC for long enough now where I feel like that storyline's kind of waning a little bit.
Yep.
Especially considering his fights against, you know, Corey Sandhagen, where he really needed to win that fight. I mean, obviously, Corey Sandhagen's a great fighter. Didn't come up big there, didn't get the win there. And since then, he's kind of just bounced around the bantamweight division. He's definitely a contender, but not really at the point where he's kind of knocking on the door of, you know, getting a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
And off the back of that, he's fighting someone that's kind of in a similar situation in Chris Gutierrez. Gutierrez is really, really good at leg kicks, kind of a striker. So heading into this fight, who do you got and any reasons why?
You know, I will say, just off rip, I was shocked by the odds here with Song Yadong being minus 400. I think that's a little crazy. And I think I'm going to be a little controversial here and go for Chris.
Gotcha.
Which is crazy. I've went for Song Yadong in the past, and he's made me proud and stuff. But I just think minus 400 is crazy. And I think Chris, with those leg kicks and with the amount of significant strikes that he lands, I think he could get this. I think the striker versus striker matchup is going to be very entertaining. And it could go either way, but I'm just going to go out on a limb and go against the odds and pull for Chris here.
Got you. Yeah, that's an interesting pick. Honestly, I'm probably going to go with Song Yadong. And I think that, I mean, honestly, his only other fight in 2023 was against Ricky Simone, which that fight was just a 5-round battering of Song Yadong just showing how good he is compared to somebody against like a Ricky Simone. But honestly, I don't think Ricky Simone is at the level of a Song Yadong or really the top 10, top 5 of the UFC bantamweight division. But off the back of that, I don't think that Chris Gutierrez is really kind of in that same class as well. And I think Song Yadong is going to get the win. One thing that I did want to highlight, though, heading into this fight before we wrap up, was that Chris Gutierrez, in his pre-fight interview, said that, like, he's scared. Like, he's, like, scared to death, I believe was the quote, something like that. And for a fighter to come out and just say that you're scared to death of your opponent,
you're going to worry.
I don't know. I think the candidness kind of it's definitely like a change of pace, and I think maybe there's some confidence behind it. Mm-hmm. But to come out and say that, I mean, if I was Song Yadong, I feel like I would just be, I don't know, like I would have so much more confidence.
That might be the tactic, though, because Song Yadong might be like, oh, this is gonna be, he's already scared of me, I'm gonna walk in with this with flying colors and just take this win. But
I think true.
That could be it. You never know. These UFC fighters are all crazy. They're all whack. They all have some subliminals in their mind. They're all doing some sneaky stuff. So you never really know. But at the end of the day, I'm going to be risky. And I think I've earned a risk. I'm, you know, with my streak right now, I can afford just maybe
you could afford to one get one
thing,
wrong.
But
yeah,
it's a risk. But I'm hoping it works in my favor. Yeah, I just think those kicks, those body kicks, and the significant strikes. I will say Song Yadong with the takedowns. If he can take him down, it's over.
Yeah,
but,
no, definitely.
But I just hope it doesn't get to that point.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see how this fight plays out. I'm interested to see if the majority plays out in the striking realm or if he'll head to the ground. But yeah, this fight, I mean, slotted into the main event, it definitely should be a fun fight, but very clearly, it's kind of a warm-up card for next weekend's fight, which is UFC 296 that features Leon Edwards defending his belt against Colby Covington, and a couple other title fights. We got Alexander Pantoja heading into his first defense of his flyweight belt against Brandon Royval, so that should be a very, very fun fight night pay-per-view to really get into. So it seems like they're definitely kind of, you know, holding their cards a little bit for next week.
And now, remind me, are you a Colby Covington fan? I know you're a Wonderboy fan, but
I'm a Wonderboy fan. I'm not a massive Colby Covington fan.
Okay.
In terms of, I like his style. I feel like I don't know, some of the stuff he says outside of the octagon definitely can, you know, it's fun, but also, you know, it's a whole other can of worms. Bit.
Yeah, okay. But, I just could have swore you were Colby Covington guy. I'm not sure why I thought that.
Yeah. We'll get into it next week. We'll get into it next week. But I think that just about wraps up this episode of Pound for Pound. Make sure to watch UFC Fight Night this weekend, in addition to Devin Haney versus Regis Progaius. I've been Andrew Canary, and before I go, I want to give a massive thanks to my co-host Riley Lucas, Woo. Resident Devin Haney fan.
Go Devin!
As well as our producer for this week, Isabella Terracini. Thank you so much. Killing it behind on the sticks. Again, I've been Andrew Canary, and Pound for Bound is a production of WFUV Sports.